Congressman Richard Gephardt is the 8th Democrat to enter next year's presidential race. It's the second run by the 62-year-old former House Minority Leader. He ran as a fresh face back in 1988. As part of my series of conversations with the Democratic contenders, Gephardt says he'd make a good president in part because of his quintessential American story. He grew up in St. Louis, and his working-class parents never finished high school. They scraped and saved for their son's education, and with the help of scholarships and church programs, Gephardt went to college and law school. He says he alone understands what average Americans need. One need, he argues, is a far-reaching health care plan, which he would pay for by eliminating tax cuts proposed by President Bush.
I would try to put the money into tax incentives for businesses, all kinds of businesses, large, small, individual businesses, to help pay a greater proportion of the cost of health insurance for their employees.
As you know very well, the way it works in politics is the removal of a tax cut is characterized as a tax increase. Now, how is that going to go over with the American people?
Well, I understand that's the charge that the other side will make, but I don't buy it. I think their tax cuts have been largely a failure. They have not stimulated the economy. They haven't gotten anybody covered with health care. They haven't gotten anybody educated. So it is far preferable to $300 or $600 a year in a tax cut to have substantially more help than you have today in keeping or getting health insurance, which is, in my view, the most important thing to everybody.
You're pledging to work through the World Trade Organization to establish an international minimum wage.
I think we're in danger because of the opening up of free trade, which we all support, of having a race to the bottom, what I call a race to the bottom for wage levels. Companies everywhere, not just American companies, are really being forced to go to the cheapest wage countries to do their manufacturing or to deliver their services. And I think we have to bring about international standards, both for workers and the environment, in our trading relationships. On the minimum wage suggestion, as president, I would go to the World Trade Organization and try to get them to legislate an international minimum wage. Now, it would obviously be different in different countries because you're at different levels of development, and so you couldn't have the same wage here that you would have in China. But I think we've got to start putting a floor under wages. We've got to recognize that we must honor work wherever it's performed, and it'll help everybody. It'll help build consumers worldwide for all of the products that are being made worldwide.
You spoke very little about foreign policy in your declaration speech. Isn't that odd, given that we're on the brink of war, perhaps?
I felt all along that we should deal with this diplomatically if we can, militarily if we must. And I still believe that the best way to avoid military action is if the whole United Nations and the whole world is united in telling Saddam Hussein that he must do what these resolutions have told him to do for over 10 years.
So is it at the must stage now? Is it time for force?
We'll see. I don't know the answer to that at this point. I still hold out the hope that if the whole world is united in saying that force will be used if he doesn't do what he should have done a long time ago, that we still have a chance of getting him to do it without the use of force. But if he doesn't, after that is said for the last time, then military force is needed. This is about weapons of mass destruction, or components of weapons of mass destruction, falling into the hands of terrorists. Our highest responsibility is to keep our people safe.
There are a number of Democrats now willing to challenge President Bush, but there weren't many before the last elections, and a lot of people said that the Democrats didn't stand for anything.
Well, it's always great to have Monday morning quarterbacking. There are a variety of reasons that we didn't prevail, but I would urge everybody to remember that in the four elections since we lost the House, we've picked up seats in three of those elections. So we had victories in three out of four elections. And in the last election where we lost a handful of seats, it frankly was a very close election, just like 2000.
And you don't think that loss cost you support among Democrats?
I really don't. I think most people who followed this closely know that I did a good job for 8 years as minority leader, that I won again 3 out of 4 elections. That's a pretty good batting average. I think most people aren't going to be that concerned about what happened in the past. They're going to be looking at the future. They're going to want to know who I am, where I come from, what I believe in, and what my issues are, and what I would try to do as president.
If there was confusion before the election about what Democrats stand for, is there confusion now?
Well, you're just starting this election season. The candidates are just announcing their campaigns. The issues are just starting to be discussed. We'll have lots of debates about what the issues are and what Democrats stand for. I've got to convince people over the debates and the other events that you go through that I am someone they like, I'm someone who has a personal experience that they can relate to, and somebody they can trust as much, if not more, than George Bush. I think I can do that, and I think I will do that.
But before you can do that, they have to like you more than Joe Lieberman or John Kerry.
Well, that's absolutely true. You got to win the nomination, and I think I can do that.
Yeah, but what separates you from Lieberman, Kerry, Dean, Sharpton?
We'll have differences on issues. It's a little unclear now exactly what those will be because everybody hasn't gotten their whole issue platform out there. Eventually that will happen and we'll have differences. But again, the way you get separation in this thing is by somebody starting to win primary campaigns because voters are more attracted to this candidate or that. And that's how the winnowing begins. It may end very quickly, and then you're on to the general election and into the same process, which I look forward to.
Democratic presidential candidate and Missouri Congressman Richard Gephardt. An extended version of the interview is at npr.org.